The spirit, Professor Denton, makes a strong appeal to have the circle and all who are interested in this work to use every endeavor to get the work to the world. To have the world know of what is being done here. He says, I appeal to you in the name of justice to let the world know of the things going on here. This band of spirits have worked faithfully for the benefit of a few men alone, and if a channel be provided by which our work could go to the world, we would do more wonderful things than we have yet done. A. And Reed says, if provisions are not made so they can go on with their intended work, they will soon have to disband. B. Denton further says, one upon your side should feel himself happy in knowing and experiencing these things. But so many are not trying to find out, and so many more are not capable of realizing it. They ask so many foolish questions, such as, why can't they come to me and show me? If there is anything in it all, they can show me, right here, as well as they can show anybody anywhere. In short, spirits must come my way or not at all, say they. Such people have yet to learn that they have no mortgage on the spirit world, that we do not have to come, and the only reason we do come at all is that we hope somebody will be benefited by our coming. I hope you people here will find out how hard it is for some to come. It is not hard for me to come, only when somebody spoils conditions. But only when you reach this side will you be able to know about these things. Seance number 47, December 4th, 1902, 760. And as much as the typewriting given at this seance was timed, the names of all the persons present are given. C. V. N. House, Mrs. B. House, Mrs. L. Cook, Miss Ida May Cook, Joseph Simpson, Mrs. Maggie Newman, Mrs. Mary Irene Dye, Dr. E. J. Sahus and Mr. Walter Savage, and as a matter of course, the secretary and Mrs. Abra always present at these seances. A. During the social, Mrs. Dye desired to know whether spirits have any means of ascertaining the exact chronological date of the period of time when any given animal or thing represented by its geologic fossil existed. B. This question was asked for the reason that Professor Denton, while in the Earth life, in his geologic psychometry often said that it seemed impossible for the best of psychics to fix the dates of such periods with any degree of reliable certainty. They could read the geologic period but not the chronologic. This question brought out quite an animated conversation upon the subject of psychometry. Then on repairing to the seance room, after the opening exercises there, by the spirits, Reed and Denton, the 761 operator of the typewriter appeared in the arena at the typewriting machine, took a blank sheet of paper, placed it in the machine, and proceeded to write very rapidly, requesting the secretary to time the writing, which the secretary did by watch, finding the first and second pages to have been written in 110 seconds each, the third in 105 seconds, and the fourth page to have been written in 45 seconds. On each of the first three pages were found, at close of seance, 276 words, and on the fourth and last page were 216 words aggregating 1,044 words and 70 punctuation marks, all written in 370 seconds, averaging, including allowance for punctuating, 3 words per second and 180 per minute. But the last page was written in 45 seconds, has 216 words and 12 punctuation and other necessary marks, making the astounding equivalent of 300 words written upon a common second-hand Remington typewriting machine, by spirit form, while the spirit form is visible to 10 persons, who are sitters at this seance, and the machine and paper alls are visible and the consequent noise such rate of writing would make was heard distinctly, and the circle talking to each other about the wonderful affair, and the spirit operator urging the dictator to speak to him more rapidly, and twice, the machine was out of order during the writing, but the operator at once repaired it and wrote ahead. The dictating spirit represents that she is Mrs. Abba's father's mother, Elizabeth Whiting, who has been in spirit life nearly 56 years and dictates as follows, to wit, 762. My work lies among the little ones of the spirit world, and I have been requested by the guides here to describe one of the homes for children, I do not expect to give you a minute description as I shall be limited for want of comparisons, but I trust, however, that you may get a fair idea of what one of these homes is like, from the meager description I shall be able to give. 763. Rose Home stands upon a high hill that overlooks miles of fertile plains. The hill has terraced beds of roses and other flowers from the foot to the summit. These beds are intersected at different points by beautiful white walks, and here and there, among the flowers, are fountains common not because the flowers need water, but more on account of the soothing effect the sound of falling water has upon the spirit. These fountains are very decorative. One that stands near the entrance attracted my notice, the first visit I made to Rose Home. It is seemingly a magnificent white lily, but on closer inspection you discover that each tiny pistil is sending forth a fine spray that falls among its green leaves with a sweet musical sound that is very pleasing to the ear. 764. The buildings of Rose Home are all circular, as many others are, in the spirit world. It would appear to you more like a vast framework set with immense panes of glass than anything else, as it is composed of transparent material. Large corrugated columns of pink and yellow topaz seem to support the high vaulted roof. 765. The children at this home never know what it means to be sent supperless to bed, though they are children who have dwelt upon the earth plane, and many experienced this more than once in their old homes. They are all dressed alike, in beautiful robes of a pink hue that harmonizes with the vibrations they are living in at the present. Many of the pleasures so dear to their innocent hearts while upon earth are still enjoyed by them. 766. For instance, a party of little ones were taking tea on the lawn, at my last visit. Their table was a large lily leaf, and the centerpiece, a big water lily. Daisies served as plates and tall white lilies as drinking mugs. What a happy time they were having! Upon my near approach, they sprang up and ran to greet me. "How are you, Snowball? My spirit name," they cried. Moonbeams Band 767. After talking to them a while, I passed into the building, and after greeting all who came near me, I passed on to a group that I take a special interest in and found that they were engaged in making beautiful floral emblems for a sick child upon earth, who is clairvoyant. I asked them how they expected to be able to show her the result of their labors, and several exclaimed at once, "Why, Snowball, don't you know?" And after I explained that my work had been all in the spirit spheres since I left the earth plane, they offered to take me with them upon their errand of mercy. I wanted to start at once, but they said no, we must wait for Moonbeam. I wanted to know why, and they suggested that I wait and see, and this is what I saw in a very short space of time. 768. A lovely Indian girl, perhaps 16 years of age, whose dress was covered with dazzling points of light, came into our presence and was warmly greeted by our group. The little Indian princess asked me if I was accustomed to visit the earth plane often, and when I replied, "Only once in a while, and then only for a visit to my loved ones," she began weaving a fine, filmy veil, with which she enveloped my form. And after doing the same for the children, all clasped hands and started upon our journey, and in less time than it takes to tell you of, we were in a home of earth. 769. I soon found that Moonbeam was a very wise spirit indeed. By the manipulation of the forces in the atmosphere and the magnetism of the people in the home, she not only made the flowers visible to the sick child, but the happy little donors were also made visible. How my heart ached for the poor little sufferer as she held out her arms and pleaded with us to take her with us. She said, "Dear little angels, Mama thinks I tell stories when I tell her about you. Won't you please take me back to heaven with you?" Moonbeam then made passes over her and she sank into a peaceful slumber, the first she had had in days. I heard a member of the household say, as she tiptoed in to see how the little patient was, "Moonbeam says this child is destined to make a wonderful psychic, and that it is the especial delight of the little one to have the angels bring her flowers." 770. We journeyed with light hearts back to beautiful Rose Home and found our friends engaged in making happiness for themselves and others. I find that our children are strongly attached to the advanced Indian spirits. These spirits have a natural love for children, and through their clear understanding of many of the psychic forces, they are enabled to bring happiness not only to the little ones in the spirit world, but to the little ones of Earth as well. The keynote of all true happiness is found in making others happy. Try to make the day brighter for someone else, and you will find that it is brighter for you. 771. The wise intelligence that rules all things has provided for all the wants of man, but man, in his greed, has decreed that the distribution of good things shall not be equal. With all of the means at his hands to build homes, there need be no little ones homeless upon the earth plane any more than in the spirit world. The people of earth need homes for the children and free hospitals for the sick more than they need anything else. Moonbeam says she will tell you, at some future time, of some of the experiences she has had in her visits to earth. I am Mrs. Abba's grandmother. Signed, Elizabeth Whiting. 772. The spirit Professor Denton next came from the cabinet, stood near to the secretary, and there standing spoke in his strong, eloquent, forcible, and pointed manner, beginning with psychometry where the circle had left it. His speech being substantially, in the following words, psychometry is a settled fact, and has been for ages. But in psychometrizing geologic fossil remains and any geologic specimen of the geologic periods, I have never attained to a knowledge of any means of determining the chronological age of the period in which the psychometrized specimen existed in life or when it first became a fossil, or how long chronological time it has existed in the fossiliferous condition. The best that I have as yet known, is to fix the geologic periods in geological terms. I never heard that any spirit has mastered a method of converting geologic periods to chronological dates and measures. There may be spirits who could do so, but the spirit world is a practical world, and I have never learned of any good, whatever it would be to any inhabitants of the spirit world to be able to estimate geologic events in chronologic order and style. Psychometry may be of some little benefit to mortals but none to spirits. But psychometry needs assistance of spirits, to be of any marked degree of success, and spirits who might be competent to give such assistance, do not see sufficient compensatory results to use their own energies or to encourage mortals to use theirs to any great extent, in the field of psychometry. And I think, if you examine, you will not find so much psychometry now as there was a few years ago, and I think, it will gradually be reduced to a minimum, simply because spirits see more efficacious phenomena, than formerly, to teach to mortals the needed lessons of future life. Our work is now along different lines. We desire to work for general benefit, and to use methods in reaching mortals through more independent channels. When I can do no better, I try to teach what I have learned through some other brain than my own, but I greatly prefer to have an independent organism such as I am using now. In this way, when conditions are good, I can very nearly express my thoughts, my ideas, uncut, to you mortals. But where I have to use the brain of another, as in mental phenomena, my expressions reach you second-handed. In this latter case, it must necessarily be that the intended expression is much more colored from admixture of the latent impressions existing in the brain used. 773. It is so much easier to express thought through a materialized form of my own, as I am doing now, than through some other brain. Would you not think so? Here we give you positive knowledge concerning the things of both worlds. Why, friends, you are ignorant as babes in the light of nature as to creation and the Creator, which is nature. Do you not see, all around you, every hour, nature creating herself, out of herself? Why go to the trouble of conjuring up some mythical being to do just what you see nature doing all the time, and from age to age? 774. No one can understand the responsibility of the star circle of spirits who have undertaken to let your world know of the eternal truth which they have learned during all the ages they have inhabited the spirit world. 775. While we are trying to give to your world some ideas concerning the purposes of life, and to blaze the way, so that the traveler need not be in a lost condition on leaving the mortal side. There are so many of Earth's people who care not to know of the morrow until the last dark night of their willful ignorance is closing in around them to pass them on to the other side of life, groping their way in a country whose geography they had neglected to listen to, until too late. Too late. 776. They had depended on having their inner eyes opened by the priest as they would be crossing the cold stream, and awaken in a blaze of light and glory, but they find this country not as the Christian had told them on earth, and instead of being launched into the light of eternal day, by the last prayers of the priesthood, they find themselves in a country of darkness, wherein they must grope their way out of darkness, into light, by taking lessons of nature as their great God-Savior. We can do them no good now, we pity them, however, as we can almost feel the gloom through which they must pass in atonement for their neglected opportunities of the earth plane. 777. Redfeather told the circle in a very amusing, sarcastic manner about the great war in heaven, among all the angels being divided half and half, into two opposing armies, one, headed by a great boss angel, known as the devil, and the other army, led by Jesus Christ, as John Milton would have it. But, while Milton is in serious matter-of-fact mood, and has the two armies drawn up in line of deadly combat on the plains of heaven, and Satan's army was put into rout, Michael, Christ's lieutenant, Jesus Christ rolled him up a huge ball of lightning and curled at Satan's head, striking him squarely in the forehead, which sent Satan on retreat for new territory, and he gathered up the fragments of his army and sailed away for the earth to make his future home there, arriving just as Eve had been finished. And Satan made a compact with her, by which he owned the earth in fee simple, and still owns it, collecting tithes of all the people of earth, except the rich and the priesthood, to whom he remits the taxes because they are the chief officers of his kingdom and run the machine wholly in the interest of his satanic majesty. 778. But Redfeather treats the whole matter as a huge joke played on the people as a solemn reality in order to hypnotize dollars out of the pockets of the poor and into the pockets of the rich, and their lieutenants, the priesthood, and so, Redfeather is continually making amusing suggestions to the delight and merriment of the circle. Erastus Coffin, 779. As the circle recognized to be the name of this spirit, came out of the cabinet as Denton returned into the cabinet and took his stand as Denton had, near to the secretary, and seemed to be much amused at what Redfeather had said about the angels getting into a fight, and said, "Well, friends, I saw great numbers coming downhill going to meeting to get saved, and I was just thinking that, if we only had a little real fire to shake them over, it might set them to thinking a little bit. Well, we are trying to shake them up, but they have been allowing some other fellow to do all their thinking for them so many years, that they really think it would send their little souls to some great pool of burning sulfur if they should happen to suspect for one moment that it were possible for any spots to be underneath the divine robes of their preacher. They regard their preacher as a divine oracle, a perfect medium, whose voice, in the pulpit, is the voice of the Lord God Almighty speaking through the heavenly lips of the preacher. They don't know that they are the hypnotized lambs made dumb before the shearer. They don't know that the serpent-tongued minister is more intent on appropriating the fleece, than he is on saving the soul. Why, Jabez, don't you know that the rich contributor can do no harm, can do no immoral act deserving attention of the church while the poor widow with her mite is passed by unnoticed? Although, in reality she gave more than they all. Say, Jabez, it makes me laugh, to go to church now, and witness the great farce continually being played there. If they only knew how they are throwing their lives away, stuffing their souls full of antiquated myths, instead of living waters, they would soon be calling on the rocks and mountains to hide them away from their own wasted lives. While I can have pity for the ignorant layman, I must laugh at the condition of the preacher who lives on the fat of the land, fares sumptuously every day, and is prominently seated at the head of the table on all festive occasions. Oh, I can laugh at him, when I see him groping around alone, over here, and in midnight darkness stumbling over the errors of his earth life. Yes, Jabez, I can laugh at him. I had much to learn when I got here and nobody felt sorry for me, and now, it's come my time to laugh. Say, Jabez, do you know these very pious preachers swear? They do, sometimes swear like troopers. They say, God Almighty will condemn you poor souls to hell, unless you at once fall in with the overtures of mercy. God Almighty it is that is speaking to you now. And some poor souls don't know but the preacher speaks the truth. Say, Jabez, I used to swear and be just that way myself, and the worst of it is, I got it all from the Bible, but I am bravely over it all now. I am so glad of it, that I cannot help laughing. After all, death, to the person living on earth, is a serious matter. Death is an event that must come, sooner or later, to every person. Death is something that cannot be avoided, but when you weep alone, and when you laugh the laughing world laughs with you. When death does come, when his icy fingers begin to cut your heart strings, then you are ready to abandon, for one moment, your idols of earth, and ask for information as to what lies beyond, and you call the priest or preacher, who knows no more of that than you do, and he tells you to trust in Jesus and he will carry you through. The priest always tells you to trust in Jesus, and whatever else you do, or do not, you are safe. And now, you come to the brink of the grave, so ignorant of all that lies beyond, that you launch, away into absolute darkness, there to remain until your spirit vision grows so that you can discern spiritual things. Better wake up your spirit nature while on earth, for, oh, dear friends, the dying hour is too late, too late. Remember what I tell you now, your Savior is within you, and not outside. The heavenly kingdom into which you wish to enter is within you. And you ought to clean up that kingdom before you go hence. Good night, 274. Seance number 48, December 7, 1902, 780. No visitors at this seance. Minutes read and approved by the circle. Then at opening of seance, Dr. Reed said, the minutes are approved by the spirits, Mr. Secretary, and Denton, following, said, A, Mr. Secretary, your report of last seance is heartily approved by us as being completely and correctly taken and amplified according to our desire. B, I am glad to meet this circle this evening. The work you are doing may be trouble to you, but it will be a great help to mortals, especially to the little ones, on both sides of life. 781. And now comes the artist, takes a stretch of canvas, exhibits the same to the circle, and all pronounce the canvas to be clean, then the artist places the canvas upon the writing desk and gets the paints. Speaks to his subject as nicely little girlie, gives directions about posing, tells her to hold up chiny, turn a little more around, come out a little plainer, etc., and finally, oh, it come one nice there, red feather show the circle. And the circle see the picture not quite complete. Artist takes canvas back and finishes picture, passes to circle and the circle see that it is the same one passed a moment before, that was unfinished, and all pronounced this a magnificent effort, and the spirits pronounced it to be a picture of crystal, of Rose Home, of which we had an account, in typewriting. 782. Then there came a child form to the trumpet and tiptoed to get high enough, and whispered in the trumpet, I am crystal. Then backed into the cabinet. Denton 783. I am delighted with what the artist has done. To my view, he has given you a masterpiece of work. We gave him all the force and thus made better conditions. A. I am so accustomed to it that I can come when the conditions are very bad, but it requires more from Reed and others. B. Some people are so constituted that they cannot change at once, but we have patience, unless they are too dogmatical or egotistical. This may seem strange to you but we are people, and when in the earth's atmosphere, we feel the repelling influence of extreme selfishness. C. We do come, however, to give you matter for publication, and Drive Reed is, in fact, president of this work. Seance number 49 December 11, 1902 784. Visitors present, R. T. Van Horn. Kansas City, Mo., Alonzo Thompson, of Fullerton, Nebraska, Henry Groff, Waymore, Nebraska, A. T. Hinshaw, Albo, Nebraska, and Mrs. William Humphrey, Kansas City, Mo. A. The circle had one problem, not heretofore discussed, presented by Mr. Thompson, as to homeopathic doses of remedial agents of great potency, seeming to be more efficacious than larger doses of the same medicines in less concentrated form, but aggregating an equivalent potency. B. When the seance began, first Reed, and then Denton, congratulated the visitors and invited them to call again at an early date. 785. Then came forth the type machine operator, and in his usual way, executed a writing of 1,019 words, besides 60 punctuation marks equal to 12 words. A. The actual time, by watch, of the execution of this writing was 5 minutes and 40 seconds. One page of 300 words was written in 80 seconds, including 15 punctuation marks, or the rate of 225 words to the minute. The spirit giving the message was not able to dictate as rapidly as the operator could write it, and both Sam in the cabinet and the operator outside were continually urging the dictating spirit to hurry up. The whole circle could see the operator of the machine, they could hear the machine, hear the operator and Sam urging the dictator to hurry up, hear the bell ring that marks the end of a line of writing, and some of the circle counted the bell ringings, and sliding back of the rack, for each line, and thus knew how many lines were written to each page. All could see the spirit take the paper from the machine and take and place the next blank sheet in the machine, it requiring 4 sheets of paper to contain the writing, it being double spaced. The circle could see the paper being placed in the machine, to be blank paper, and when taken out, to have lines resembling lines of writing, and when done, the writing is handed to Alonzo Thompson, whose first visit this is, to these seances, and all the circle see the writing handed to said Thompson, who retained the writing in his hands to close of seance. Then Mr. Thompson read the said typewriting to the circle and found it signed, James Charles. Who is James Charles? Thompson scratched his hypnotically deluded head a moment and exclaimed, Charles, Charles. Why, bless my life, my mother's name was Charles, and his uncle's name was James Madison Charles, namesake of James Madison. The circle all examined the writing and pronounced it to be as well and neatly executed as the best typewritten copy intended for the printer. Mr. Thompson himself having served as auditor of the state of Missouri for 4 years, and as member of the legislature of said state, for 2 terms, and has been in real estate business very extensively in Nebraska for several years past, is certainly competent to judge, and the Honorable R.T. Van Horn, who founded the Kansas City Journal and for some 35 years was its chief editor, and served 4 sessions in U.S. Congress, is surely competent to judge in this matter. Now it surely would seem that the person who would undertake to explain away this case on any kind of delusion, or imagination, must be as ignorant of the laws of human existence and mental action as any oyster is of the construction and operation of a monster battleship. And now the reader is introduced to an exact copy of the aforementioned typewriting in the words immediately following, 786. There are so many people just sitting around, waiting for some chance to do something grand and noble. Their cry is that they don't know just what to do. Why, my friends, there are any number of opportunities open to you, each day, if you would only open your eyes and try to see them. A. The full beauty of a life of service is not appreciated until the spirit world is reached, and then the reward is astonishing. B. The little deeds done without a thought or desire for reward are the ones that bring the largest interest. 787. Around you, each day, are tired, worn-out men and women. Do them some little act of kindness, mend a rent in a garment, bind up a bruised hand, sew on a few buttons, anything that will lighten the labor of your fellow man and give him to learn that it is good to be living. 788. How sad it is to see young people grow tired of life and resort to suicide in an endeavor to escape from disappointments, when, if they were encouraged, and in their turn, try to encourage someone else, what a great amount of suffering would be avoided. 789. I am glad to see that man is beginning to care for the dumb brutes more tenderly. But, how often do they pass by a poor, starving street child to save an alley cat? They should both be cared for, and could be, if man would let his mind run in more than one direction. 790.